obviously, strife would involve an argument, it would involve a disagreement, but it goes much deeper than that. Strife usually involves bitterness. And there are times when strife between two people or groups of people, it can escalate to violence and involve violence. Within families, strife can result in lifelong emotional scars. Sometimes those emotional scars are successfully lived with or set aside, but they're always there. When strife happens between believers, the church's testimony is damaged,
yes,
and Christ is dishonored. Now, in addition to strife as it may affect Christians within their families, okay, of course, even though the place a person works may not be a Christian place, there nevertheless can be strife there, and it can affect Christians. But our main focus will have to do with strife within our families, and even more so than that, but I hesitate to put it that way because I don't want to seem to minimize that, but we're going to deal with strife in the church, okay? Sometimes strife takes place in families because it spills over from the church. Sad to say, there's times when there's been strife in the church and people have taken sides on a subject or an issue, and then it spills over into the family, and within the family, sometimes a greater family, sometimes just a family that lives in one house, sometimes then the strife affects there, and you find people taking up sides within the family. That is definitely strife on steroids. The Bible warns against strife. Now, I know you are aware of that. I'm not telling you anything that is new to you. But the Bible warns against strife and rebukes those who cause it. Now, Proverbs chapter 20, if you would. Proverbs chapter 20. And we're going to look at verse 3 first off. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. There are situations and circumstances that can come up in which an individual may be tempted to get into a striving condition, or there are situations for that a person can find themselves in strife. And here we're told it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. So to some level or some extent, apparently there was strife, because the honor comes in looking at it and saying, whoa, this is not right. This is not good. And therefore they cease from it. And but every fool will be meddling. Yeah, a fool doesn't stop. A fool's going to keep going on and is going to meddle even more. Now, in chapter 18 and verse 6, chapter 18 and verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention. And here the thought of strife comes within this word contention. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. So a fool, not only according to chapter 20, verse 3, continues meddling. But here we are told that he just can't shut his mouth. Or she just can't control her tongue. And a fool's lips enter into contention. They just have to say things that cause strife.
Yeah, come on.
Their mouth, okay, it says his can be her. Their mouth calls for strokes. I mean, now here's where you can see some violence being able to come in. Okay? Because now this fool is going to be calling for an outcome of some kind of physical retribution. Okay? Now it says strokes. That'd be probably with a whip or a rod that they would be getting those strokes. Well, since we don't find ourselves using whips and rods a whole lot, praise the Lord for that, okay? But nevertheless, why, if I had my way, she'd just drop over. Yeah. And, you know, if I had my way, they couldn't get sick enough. You know, heard they're sick. Oh, good. Serves them right.
Come on.
Okay. Now, the fool's lips enter into that kind of contention. And their mouth calls for some kind of retribution. Go to chapter 22, still in Proverbs. Chapter 22, this time verse 10. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Huh. How about that? If the one causing the strife isn't there, the strife will end. Isn't that something? Cousin Henry, you know, has a lot of, there's a lot of things about Cousin Henry that you can really enjoy. But Henry just can't seem to stop causing problems between people. And he's just got a knack for being like a burr under a saddle. And so if Henry's removed, so's the contention gonna go. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Okay? And so, you know, the Bible makes things pretty clear. Now, my desire would be rather than, what does it say there in verse 10? Cast out the scorner. Rather than casting her out, I just as soon as do something to change her way. Okay? Now, if she's a Christian, you say, how come you're saying she? Because we just instinctively go to he. And I don't pick on the men all the time. You ladies are not smiling about that. Anyway, they just seem to be able to get it going. And so what would be great is if you could get such a person to change their attitude, change their outlook and things, change their... Now, you're not going to change him. He's always been that way. I remember, here we are, we're 40 years old now. And I remember when we were 14, he always got things stirred up and going. There was just no stopping it. Okay? And so that may be a reason why it says cast out the scorner. Uh-huh. I don't think it's wrong, of course, to try to change a person.
Right.
Amen? And we know that by the grace of God, all things, all persons can change.
That's right.
And it takes patience on the part of those who stand by to just be gracious and wait until God is able to have control. Okay? But you know, want to know something? The person who's been wounded by such contention usually doesn't have patience to wait. Okay? They've been hurt too often. They've been affected too many times, and therefore they'd really rather not wait. And so they go along with the initial cast them out. Well, now, the Bible warns against strife, and it rebukes. Could the rebuke be any clearer than that we just read? Uh-huh. Avoiding strife is difficult. And the New Testament church was plagued by strife.
Yes, sir.
So we should not think, okay, well, you know, things are worse today. No, they're not worse today. They were bad back then.
Yes, sir.
You know why that is? Because that old sin nature that exists today in us, that when it's not kept in check and when we're not yielded to the new nature, that old nature that causes trouble today, it caused trouble back in the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians. Bet you knew I was going there, didn't you, huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "And I, brethren," so he's talking to Christians here, "and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." He's got something he needs to say to teach, but he is evaluating his crowd, okay? And therefore, he's going to speak. He knows who he's speaking to. He said, "I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal." Not just carnal, but even as. He doesn't say they are babes, but even as babes in Christ. You would expect the things that he's going to deal with to exist in new Christians. They have just gotten saved. They're just learning this whole matter of Christian living. But here he is. He says, that's how he has to talk to these people. Verse 2. He said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it." Couldn't bear meat. Had to deal with them with milk. Light things, okay? Easy to comprehend things. Easy to understand teaching. Can't get too deep on these people because they're not going to get it, because they've been feeding the flesh rather than the spirit. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Now, I don't know a time frame here. I don't know if a time frame is known. But there was a time where he had to feed them milk, and he still has to feed them milk. He said you couldn't eat meat, neither yet now were they able. They still had not progressed to a point where they were able to take something more than a baby bottle. Now, verse 3. "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you..." Okay, now here's the setting. This is what he's addressing. "For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions." Now you see what is going together here? Envyings. That's a negative, by the way. Envyings, strife, and divisions. If there's envying present, there is going to be strife because you're going to find people at odds with each other. This guy is envying this guy. And he isn't just going to stand by and say, boy, I wish I had that, you know. But he's usually going to come up with some profound statement like, well, I don't know why in the world he got it. He never worked all that much in his life. Why should he have that? Uh-huh, yeah. Envying. Because you see, envy doesn't just look at something that somebody else has and want it. But it goes along with, why should they have it? You know, it's one thing to want what somebody else wants, but when you begin to say, they shouldn't have it. I should have it, but they shouldn't have it. And no wonder there's strife. And then that causes division. Causes another way to understand the divisions is factions.
Yeah.
Okay? So now, here you have, because nobody lives in a vacuum. A church is not in a vacuum. And so now, here's Bill, and he's got friends. And those friends are going to side with and sympathize with what Bill thinks. And, well, then over here's Henry. You know, I'm trying to pick people that we don't have anybody, okay? And so here's Henry. And Henry's, guess what? I don't know why, but Henry has some friends. Okay? That's what Bill thinks. Why in the world did he have friends, okay? And so now they're at it with each other. And, but no, listen, because we want to pretend to be spiritual, what happens in the church is this all goes on, they think, in the QT. They think only they know what's going on and the disagreement. But it sure becomes apparent. And so he says, there's envies and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal? This is evidence of carnality. Now, carnality is the opposite of spirituality. It does not matter how much Bible a person knows. It does not matter what kind of sweet singing voice they have. It does not matter how personable they may be. All of that doesn't matter. They're carnal. And they walk as men. They walk as men. In other words, they're not walking as the Holy Spirit would lead them. They're walking, living, okay? When the Bible talks about walk as a Christian, you're talking about living. You're not talking about your feet being put up and down. We're talking about living. And so they live the way men live. They live after the wisdom of men, not after the leading of the Spirit of God. And so New Testament church was plagued by it. We're still in Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. It's interesting to read Paul's letters to the Corinthians and see what he deals with in the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look at, start at verse 19, where Paul says, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. Here's the key now. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. though Paul speaks and deals rather firmly, some would say harshly, it's all for their edifying. You know, you just sometimes in raising children, the sweet, loving voice isn't going to do it. They're just going to let it either go over their head in one ear and out the other, and you've got to get their attention. And the Apostle Paul did that. But it was always for their edifying. It was always for their purpose. Verse 20. For I fear. Now these things for their edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would. Ooh. Paul says, I'm coming, and I've got an idea. You're not going to be in the condition that you ought to be. And so he says there, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Okay, let's put it in our terminology. And Brother McVeigh says, I'm coming up for an extra weekend that Pastor Asquith has engaged me for. And I know from the emails and the phone calls that I've gotten from some of you that things aren't the way they ought to be. And he said, I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. In other words, I'd love to come and shake hands and smile, but we've got some serious business that's got to be taken care of. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. These are all conditions the Apostle Paul said existed there in the Corinthian church. And he said, when I come, I'm going to deal with them. Now, I'd rather I didn't have to. But when I come, you're going to find me the way you don't want to find me. Now, I don't know if Brother McVeigh has ever had to come to Black Creek under such circumstances. I know because he is close with Pastor and Pastor with he, that there may be some conditions that he's aware of, but he never had to, like Paul, come in and say, look, we're going to take care of this. We're going to have a church meeting. And as a matter of fact, we're not going to make it a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night business meeting, because those of you that need it won't come then. So we're going to deal with this Sunday morning. And we're not going to live stream it, because this is a family matter. These are things that have to be dealt with among family. Oh, my goodness. That's when the gossip is called out by name. Pastor told us about a preacher who would do that. Okay? He told us about a preacher who would do that. And, you know, that was not all that uncommon. In some, I don't know if it was sections of the country, their manner of handling things. I don't know what determined it. But when Pastor shared that, it was not the first time that I recall hearing congregation. Well, that ought to be done privately. Now listen, if something's ever said publicly and you think to yourself, well, that ought to be done privately, how do you know it hasn't been done privately?
Yeah.
You're assuming that nothing was ever dealt with privately. He said, envyings, wraths, strifes. And see, this just gets worse. Backbitings, whisperings. I love it. No, I don't love it. I hate it. Whenever there was something going on in the church, and I'm going over to Shingle House, that's where I was, you know, for 39 and a half years. and just 3 years before that, one of the things that prompted starting Grace Bible Church was the conditions and situations where I'd look out the church window and I'd see two or three men standing on the parking lot,
yeah,
huddled together beside one of their vehicles.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see? And they were discussing whatever it was that they didn't like that was going on. Maybe it was the buses that we were running. Maybe it was the fact that we had to start using a rental house that a member of the church had 2 miles up the road. No, 1 mile up the road. And we'd have to bus children. The whole junior department was bussed up the road. And that took place up there. And then we had to start a nursery. Oh, boy, you want to really cause a havoc? Start a nursery where there isn't a nursery. And you say, how do you know that? I did it. Okay. And so, you know, and they'd be out on the parking lot standing there. Whisperings and backbitings. My terminology today would be being knifed in the back. No matter what, no matter what you did, that was for the good of the people. Remember Paul? He said, these things that I'm going to confront you about are for your edifying. And but they ended up doing Paul dirty. Oh, that's not the way the King James puts it, okay? But swellings, people get all puffed up. They think they're, I know I've got the Lord's will on this. Okay, and tumults. Verse 21, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness. Look at what's going on here. I mean, this now is not just whispering and backbiting and gossip, but this has gone. They will have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness. You see, friends, when you get a situation where you've got envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whispering, that's the soil in which the seeds of uncleanness, and I'm not talking about needing a bath, but fornication and lasciviousness, which they have committed. We don't have to go about digging up dirt. As a matter of fact, nobody should in a church go about digging up dirt. Nobody in a church has been left to be the church's investigator. Okay? Okay, they got a badge of authority to be able to find out everything bad from your past. That's nobody's business. That was put at the cross and been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where it needs to stay. But you see, this is all, he talks about strife in this kind of context. Now, I try to say it the way I do because if you just, yeah, I'm right. It's my fault. If I have it loud enough so I hear it in case Pat calls, okay, then every time a text comes in. Now, you know, half of them are political texts, you know,
yeah.
And I just delete them, but anyway, my apology for him. You see, if I were to just read these verses and were to not try and put some of it into the context of our day and the average church,
right.
You know what's going to happen? Just like your children who don't listen when you try and train them, it's going to go right over the head.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And so, anyway, that's what he says. The New Testament church was plagued by that. Now, one more verse. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Ah, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to begin at verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So here you got servants. They have masters. Now, I believe the Bible uses the word servant specifically, and it uses the word slave specifically. But there's sort of an overlap by what servanthood was in Bible times versus what you would think of it as today. But as many as are servants under the yoke, let their masters be worthy of all honor. Now, why should these servants who had a master honor them? He says here, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Well, now, you're not a servant. You don't overlap and border with a slave. But if you have a place of employment,
that's right.
Okay, then we need to be certain that we're living and working the way we ought to be and not whining and complaining and griping. Boy, when I worked at the library, and I loved it there, still love it, was just back to help a fellow set up a display on Monday, And once in a while you'd find somebody who'd say, oh my goodness, now I've got to work until 5 o'clock. And my comment was usually, yeah, but won't it be great on payday? You're there to earn money. So quit whining and complaining about the job. If you want to, quit and go on welfare. Well, no, don't do that. I don't advise that. But the whole point is that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. I need to do a good job always so that it is a good reflection on my faith. Well, they don't know I'm a Christian there. I didn't let that be known. Yeah. You'd be surprised how many people know that we're a believer when we don't have any inkling that they would. And you know who might just tip them off? God Almighty.
Right.
Yeah. To make us to be accountable. Well, that's a whole other subject there. Verse 2. And they that have believing masters. All right. See, now the first masters, they're not, in this contrast, they're not saved. But now they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Now, why would a Christian servant want to despise a believing master? Well, you see, in the faith, they're equal. But not in cultural society. The one's a master, the other one's a servant. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. But rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. Mm-hmm. Then he goes on and he says, now teach these things and exhort them. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, and what he just said, he considers wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. The teaching is always according to godliness. You'll always find somebody who can wax great on some biblical teaching. Look for the godliness.
That's right.
Look for the godliness. Godliness in their life. not just in the church building, but wherever. Now, don't become a detective, okay? We're not going to go around looking to find stuff on people. It's just that, you know, there needs to be, all right, now, we put them up at such and such a place. And so when pastor goes down to pay and he hears something that's, you know, the owner of the building really doesn't want to complain about the person that was there, but they're not very happy about the way they conducted themselves. And pastor's good at reading between the lines. He was in business for a long while. And you learn how to read between the lines. And so he knows something wasn't right there. Okay? And so this teacher's doctrine according to godliness. He is proud and knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words. Ah, there it is again. Strifes and envy and strife and railings and evil surmising. Ah, here it is again. This whole package of problems that comes along. Now, you know, there's a word there that I don't use ever in my vocabulary. And that is in verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing but doting. Doting. When's the last time you used the word doting? Okay, I don't use it. So I went to look it up. And I found out that it carries the idea of being sickly. Huh, okay. Sickly, how would that fit in to the use of the word here? But doting, but sick, They have a sick desire for arguments. That's the way I put it, okay? Now, that might not pass muster with real scholars, but
you'll be quoted on that.
You think? Okay. They have a sick desire for arguments. They want to harp on a matter. He's proud, knowing nothing, but harping on that thing and won't give it up. People that cause strife will do that. They'll harp and harp and harp, and they won't give it up. And now, I'm giving this up, okay? I'm done for tonight. But we will come back and visit this. And the next thing is the cause of strife is underlying sin. And strife can develop when a difference of opinion becomes a priority. Okay? And then there'll be other things. So we'll just leave it at that for now. We're going to look here for prayer requests. Thank you for listening. We're going to say goodbye to you tonight. Goodbye. okay. Pat,